It's because you said you would do it, but you were never intentional about taking the steps toward it to be able to do it. You see, if we're going to do something in life, it usually happens because we begin to be intentional about it. For example, think about this for just a moment. We have the marriage ministry here where we talk about our marriages. But now everybody here that's married, hold up your hand. That's a good many. That's a good many folks, all right. Now how many of you ever said, hey, you know, I'm going to marry that woman. I'm going to marry that man. Did you say that? Did you ever at some point make that decision? I sure hope so. With that many of you in here. But what did you have to do to make that happen? You had to come to a place where you intentionally set out to ask the question. Now, I'm not going to ask whether it was him or her that asked the question. And that's the only way you got to that point. See, you would never be married if you didn't come to the point of saying, hey, I'm going to set up a time. And maybe it was spontaneous. Let me say that. Maybe it was spontaneous. But for most folks that I know of in the church, it wasn't. For example, sometimes people think about ways to pop the question, and they're very intentional. For example, I know one of the men in a church that I served years ago, he was a huge Mississippi State fan. I know we don't have any of those in here. But at the Mississippi State ball game, he hired a plane to fly over, pulling a banner behind it with the girl's name, asking her if she would marry him. I want to tell you, if you're going to do that, you better be pretty sure she's on board. Because that could be real embarrassing if it's not. You know, I've known people that have gone to great lengths to orchestrate getting somebody just to the right place where they could ask that question. But what about being intentional for other things? Being intentional for the gospel. You see, the gospel is us being able to share the story of Jesus coming, of his dying on the cross to pay the price for our sins, of God raising him from the dead, and the fact that one day he's coming back for all of those who have trusted in him. And you know what? That story forever changed my life when I believed it and I came to faith in Jesus Christ. How many of you here can say that that story changed your life when you began to understand it and you began to realize and you gave your life to Jesus Christ? And so as we think about that and we look about it, I want you to understand that this is exactly what Paul's talking about in this passage. You see, Paul started out in this chapter and he was talking about the freedom that he has. But then as he begins to talk about the different ways that he has freedom, and you know, we're Americans, we celebrate freedom. We celebrate our rights. We celebrate being able to do things the way we want to do them. But just as he really talked about all of his freedom, you'll find it interesting what he said when we get down to verse 19 here. So let's just read the passage together, starting in verse 19 and going to verse 23. For though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak, and have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. Mark, I just... We do what we've got to do, and we work together. There we go. We got sound now. But that's the first time I've had to have a midstream adjustment like that. Oh, so Paul, he begins to talk about this, Paul says, look, he said, I've got these freedoms, but I want you to know that I've made a deliberate choice to give up these freedoms. He says, for though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. I want you to understand just how serious Paul's talking here. When we talk about servant, when we use that word, there may be a lot of different things that come to mind, but actually that could be translated as a slave. But not just any slave, a particular slave. What do I mean by that? Well, here's the deal. If you were a Jew and you had a slave that was a Jew, then after a certain number of years, you were required to give them their freedom in the seventh year. But if you were that slave and you wanted to remain because you feel like you really had become a part of the family, I hope some of you have had the opportunity to work with people that you didn't just see as an employer, but you had some people that you worked with that really became something more than that. And you see, when we think about servant, when we think about slave, yes, there's all the negative connotations, but also the Old Testament spoke to how a Jewish owner had to treat his slaves, and in particular, how he had to treat a fellow Jew. And if you came to that time when it was time to be set free, but you said, I don't want to go, this is the word, this is what Paul's talking about here. There was a process. Now, I want you to understand that we talk about this process that I would find it very unpleasant. As I describe it to you, you'll probably think, yep, Brother Eddie, I agree. I find that very unpleasant. You see, if you were going to make this commitment, what it meant is you went with your master to the altar. They took you there, and they pulled your ear out like this, and they laid it out. And they took a sharp tool called an awl, not an owl like's in the bird, in the air. And they would pierce your ear through with that. Not like going to a place today to get a piercing. And it would make a large hole there where you'd see that. And what that hole said to anybody that looked on, I am a servant in the house that I serve by choice. I love my master. They had the opportunity to have their freedom, but because they loved the house that they served and they loved the master, they made a choice to say, I want to stay. I'll give up my freedom because I love you and I want to stay with you. Does that sound kind of foreign to you? That somebody would come into a situation like that? Well, I want you to understand that that is exactly the thing that Paul is describing when he says, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant. Paul said, I was willing to go, and I was willing to take on the mark, and I was willing to endure that I might win more. What's he talking about winning more? Paul's not talking about winning in the sense that we might think about winning. I'm winning because I'm getting what I want. I'm winning because I'm getting ahead. I'm winning because I'm getting money. No, Paul is talking about winning people through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to his disciples, if you remember, there were times when they argued over who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus said that the one who'd be the greatest in the kingdom must do what? He must be the least. He must be willing to be the lowest servant. And you know, Jesus didn't just say that. Jesus exemplified that. Because Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins and your sins, even though he had no debt of his own to pay. He took on mine. And what he said was exactly this: though I have all the freedom, I made myself a servant. Just like this. In Philippians, Paul talked about it like this. Paul says he emptied himself. God in heaven came down in the form of a man and emptied himself of all his heavenly rights and prerogatives. And if there was ever anybody who had the rights to do whatever he wanted, it's God. But he came down to live among men, and he took the marks upon himself, not the mark of a pierce in the ear, but the marks of the cross, the marks of the beating with the whip, the marks of the crown. And he even carried it to the very end, where he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Into your hands I commend my spirit." I want you to understand, that's the story of the gospel. And that's the story that Paul says, "I've given up my freedoms that I might be a servant to others, that I might be able to share the story of the God who became a servant to me, who gave up his prerogatives in heaven, who came down to live among men and took the marks on him of dying upon the cross." I don't know about you, but when I realized that he did that for me, it changed my life. Because I had no idea that anybody loved me that much. You see, when I was young, I had a lot of insecurities. I've always been, some people would want to say I've always been big boned. No, I was a fat youngin'. That's just a simple fact. I wasn't very athletic. I was the guy that if they were picking teams, I was going to be the last one, and somebody would inevitably say, "Well, he's got to be on our team." And because of that, I was really insecure about things. I was insecure about getting up in front of people. I want to tell you, God's got a sense of humor that he would call me every week to stand up in front of people and share the gospel, because there was a time in my life when I would have felt like I would almost pass out if I were the one that's going to be on stage. My face would literally turn red. I can remember being called to the chalkboard in school. And listen, I want to tell you what would happen to me when I was called to the chalkboard and I got up there. I froze up. It didn't matter if I knew the answer. When I got up there, guess what? I didn't know the answer. They say, "Write something on the board." Listen, anybody that knows me well, my wife will testify, I'm a terrible speller. And the guys on staff, they laugh at me when I get to the board because my writing on the board is terrible. But I'm going to tell you, my hand would literally freeze up, and there was no way I was going to make a mark on that board if I was standing up there in front of everybody. But then I found out that somebody loved me enough that he took those marks, that he gave his life, that he died in my place. I've never thought anybody really loved me, to be honest, when I was younger. But I found out Jesus did. And Paul found out the same thing on the road to Damascus. He met the God that he was persecuting, and he was persecuting his people. But in the experience when he met him, it changed Paul's life forever. Enough that Paul said, Paul was a Roman citizen. As a Roman citizen, like us as U.S. citizens, Paul had a great many rights and privileges that other people did not have. But Paul says, "I'm willing to give them all up that I might win more, that I might be able to share the gospel with more people." And then he begins to give the examples of what he's talking about. In verse 20 he says, "To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews." You see, Paul was intentionally
He intentionally met people where they were. What does he mean when he talks about to the Jews he was a Jew? Paul was actually born a Jew. He was a Jew. But Paul understood something. He understood that after Jesus Christ died on the cross, that as a Jew, he was no longer under the law, but he had liberty and he had freedom. He came to understand that though he had been a student of the law and he had been a persecutor of the church because those in the church did not keep the law, he became free because he realized that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. In other words, he understood that he never had to go back to the temple again to have another sacrifice made because Jesus made the one and only sacrifice that was ever needed on the cross at Calvary. Once for all, he became our sacrifice and our great high priest. But Paul didn't avoid the temple. He would still go to the temple. He would still go to the synagogues. And he would even at times adhere to those customs. He would not use the liberty and the freedom that he had because he understood that in dealing with those Jews that he would close the door to share the gospel and they would be forever lost. And so even though he had that freedom, there were times when he didn't use it so that he could be effective in sharing the gospel. You know, we need to think about that sometimes. There are a whole lot of things in our life that because we're Christians, we have the freedom to do. But we need to ask the question, does it hinder us from being able to share the gospel? Does it cause someone else to stumble in a way that they might not be able to follow Jesus? And Paul says, to being around those Jews, I do that. It was a circumstance like that that led him to have Timothy be circumcised. Did Paul believe that you had to be circumcised to follow God? Did he believe that salvation came through that work? Absolutely not. But he knew that Timothy, being born of a Jew and a non-Jew, would not be accepted in the Jewish community and would never be an effective witness if he completely separated himself from that. And so though it was not something he was required by law, it was something he submitted himself to so that he would have the witness and the opportunity to be able to share the gospel. But not only with the Jews. Paul says, to those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. In other words, when Paul was not in Jerusalem, when Paul was going out, if you remember, Paul is one of the greatest missionaries that we see. He is the greatest missionary in the New Testament. God used him to plant churches in over 40 different cities. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. But when he was among the Gentiles, he didn't adhere to the Jewish customs. And he didn't try to impose those Jewish customs on them. But instead, he preached Jesus. And he approached them from where they were. For example, when Paul was on Mars Hill, in a city where the pagan idolatry and many gods were worshipped, how did he speak to them about the gospel? He said, I have observed all of the things that you have here in this city and how religious you are. He said, I have seen that you even have an altar to an unknown god. You see, they were concerned about the fact they had a god for this and a god for that, and they were afraid they may have left a god out somewhere, so they erected an altar to the unknown god so they wouldn't offend him. Have you ever lived like that? I don't want to offend anybody, so I got to try to make sure everything's just right. Imagine feeling that way with God. Paul said, I know that God you don't know. And he began to use that altar to the unknown god to share with them about the God of the Bible, to share with them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there were many there who laughed him off of the hill at Mars Hill, but there were many who came back and heard Paul more. And there were those who came to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul never changed the gospel, but he adopted the approach based on who he was trying to reach. and what he was trying to do. But I want you to understand, he did that with the Jews, he did that with the lost, but he even takes it to another place. He says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. You see, Paul said, whether they're Jews or whether they're Gentiles, he said there are a lot of people that have problems in a lot of different ways. They're weak. Maybe they don't have understanding. You know, if you were in the Jewish culture, it was really the more wealthy people that got the education and that learned to read and to write and all of those things. But listen, the gospel is not just for those who can read and write. It's certainly not just for those who come from a cultured family. If that were the case, let me tell you, I wouldn't be standing up here today. But the gospel is a gospel for all people. And so Paul said, if they were weak, then I got down to where they were weak with them, so that in their weakness, I could share with them and I could work. But you know, sometimes we struggle with that. I can remember in particular living down in Louisiana after one of the storms where we had a number of homes damaged. And I had some gentlemen that came to me from a church, and they said, look, we want to help somebody that really needs it. We didn't come here just to help anybody. We want to help somebody that absolutely is at a point that they need it. I knew instantly where that I was going to take them, because I took them at their word. You see, there were people who had problems before the storm came, and they really needed help. But the storm made the problems even worse. Some of these people, imagine this is what it's like to live on the bayou where I lived in Louisiana. On one end of the road, you've got a 12,000 square foot mansion, three stories, with Steven Seagal renting it when he was doing the police show down in the area. On the other end, you've got some folks that can't hardly read and write, and really their house is just built out of plywood. They don't have an air conditioner. They've just got a shop fan pulled up in the living room. And what they've got is stuff that they've been able to find that other people have thrown away. But what's really holding them there, aside from their lack of education, is their own drugs. But they need help. In that situation, they needed somebody to know that they were loved just as much as somebody in one of those better homes. Now, they didn't have much of nothing to begin with, but what they had was gone. And so that's where I sent them. They came back to me in a little while, and do you know what they said? He said, man, I can't help them. That's not what I meant. I said, you told me you wanted to go and help somebody who really, really needed help. Oh, they needed help before all this started. Yeah, they did. And now they need even more help. And you told me that you felt like that's what God was telling you to do, but now you're saying, I can't do nothing for them. Well, I want you to know, first of all, you're absolutely right. There's not one of you here in your strength and in your ability that's got what it takes to be able to help anybody. Not me. But with God working through us, we can walk into the situation with the weakest, where that we don't feel like we've got the resources and we've got the ability, and then God can use us to be able to make a difference. There are some of you that are sitting here today that somebody reached out to you in your time of weakness, in your time of brokenness, in your time of struggle. And because they did, you heard the gospel, and it's made a difference in your life. Paul said, I've become a servant to all. Not just those Jews, because when you talk about the Jews that he might have been interacting with, you might be, Paul came out of the Pharisees. Paul was more well-to-do. And you know what we may think? If you look at this, Paul is dealing with some folks that are well-to-do, and indeed Paul may have been and did. And then when you look at those pagans, well, we know that if we read the books that Paul wrote, there were times when Paul dealt with some people that were on the pretty high end of the pagan social status too. Like getting called to the home of Cornelius. That's Peter. I'm sorry. But going and sharing the gospel. But then Paul met people who didn't have anything. And you know what Paul did? He shared the same gospel with those that he did with anybody else. And he said, I made myself a servant. Paul intentionally stayed true to the gospel, though. In what Paul did, he never compromised the gospel. He said, though I wasn't under the law, or though I was outside the law, he made clear that his conscience was toward Christ in what he did. And so as we begin to think about that, then we need to understand that Paul intentionally worked to help others experience the gospel that had changed his life. In that last verse, he says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. That I may share with them in its blessing. You know, if we're not careful what we can do once we get saved and we've been in church for a while and God blessed us, we get here among the sanctified and we begin to forget what God did for us and where he brought us from and just what a difference he made in our life. And sometimes we need to remember. We need to remember. And we need to recognize that we still have work to do, because I have never pastored a single church where there wasn't lost people in the community to be reached. I've had some people who've told me, oh, Brother Eddie, everybody around here goes to church. Everybody around here is a Christian. I want you to know, somebody who would say that doesn't realize the world that they're living in. What I understand from Jesus is that not even all the people that are sitting under this roof today are believers. But as we think about that, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity this month to be able to be intentional for the gospel. That's what Trunk or Treat will be. An opportunity to be intentional for the gospel. It'll be different than the fall festivals that we've done in the past, but it'll be an opportunity to provide a safe place for children to come, but also a place to be able to share the gospel in a very simple way at a child's level. We're going to use a simple line drawing that will be available to us to be able to share the gospel. As the kids come in, we're going to have the cars lined up around the loop here in the front. We're going to have it so that they're directed one way through. As they come in, they're going to be given a bracelet that has this symbol on it. Let me explain to you, if you don't know already, what this means. The first arrow symbolizes the fact that Jesus came down to earth. We know the story. Jesus was born as a baby in the manger. The cross is the fact that he died on the cross. He paid the price for my sins. He came from the day that he was born, headed toward the cross. But he rose from the grave. And as he rose from the grave, he proved that he indeed is God, the Son of God, and that those who trust in him, death can't hold them. Then he ascended back to heaven, where today he's seated on the throne in heaven. The Bible says right now he's our great high priest. He intercedes for us. He's praying for us today as we gather in this place and for the world around us, for those that are lost. But you see, one day he's coming back. He's coming back because he loves those whom he has saved, and he's coming back to get us. He's coming back to claim us and to take us to the kingdom. I want you to understand that's a very simple story. But Paul said, for the weak he became as the weak. For the children, we become as a child. So that as we share with them, we can share with them the basics of the gospel. I want you to understand that as that happens, you may say, well, Brother Eddie, that's really not going to make a difference. Paul said there's some who turn the ground. There's some who sow the seed. There's some who water. And there's some who harvest. See, we have an opportunity to begin to turn the ground and plant the seed. But with that opportunity, as they come through down on the other end, we'll have this up on one of the soccer goals that we'll bring up. And we'll have people there to just point and take groups and say, let me tell you about that bracelet you got. Let me tell you what it means. And they'll tell them this simple story. And as they tell them that simple story, if there are some that want to talk, we'll have people there available. We're going to need help. We're going to need you to be able to do that. But if they want to know more, then we're going to invite them. We're going to have information about everything that goes on here at the church, from the children's ministry to Straight X ministry to Re-Engage to life groups to James Club. And we're going to provide them with the opportunity. We're going to say, hey, if you want to know more, come with us. You see, here's the deal. October 31st, guess what? Whether we do anything or not, kids are going to be out trick-or-treating. I think it's important to actually do something on the day, because that's when they're going to be out. And in the midst of that, we be intentional about sharing the gospel. Oh, I know. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, they're going to come with the wrong motives. They're going to come for the candy. That don't mean we can't give them something better. We'll give them the candy, and we'll give them something better. We'll give them the gospel. But we can't do that without you. You see, here's the thing. There are four of us as pastors. Now, four of us couldn't do that. We can't make that happen. We have 12 men that serve as active deacons. I want you to understand that with the four of us and the 12 of them, I did enough math. That's 16. We can't do that. But if we come together as a church, then guess what? It's no big deal. But if we come to a church that starts today praying, and that's where it starts. Listen, the power for all of this is not just in having a picture. The power for all of this is not in having a plan. The power for all of this comes from the Holy Spirit when we willingly and intentionally say, God, we want to share what you've done in our lives so that you can bless somebody else with it. But God will use us as a family to do that. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be asking. I'm asking today, out in the foyer, as you leave here today, I'm going to be out in the foyer. I'm usually not out there. But on that counter in the foyer, there's a place where you can pick up a form and you can say, I'd like to serve in this capacity. We still need cars. Man, I'd love to have enough cars that we didn't just do this loop, but we had to send some out the drive and back down the drive to be able to do this. We're going to need people, everybody. You don't have to sign up for this. We need people praying. We absolutely need people praying. because this won't go anywhere if it's not bathed in prayer. But then in addition to that, we're going to need people to work. First of all, if you can donate candy, or you know somebody, if you have a connection with somewhere where you can get candy donated, every week there's going to be a box out here in the foyer, and we're going to be gathering that up. We want to have enough that we won't run out, and from what I've been told, that'd be a lot. But we want to be able to bless those children as they come through, because you know that's really what it is. And you can say, oh, there's going to be some older ones, there's going to be adults. Yeah, they will. They will. But maybe if they're at that point, maybe they need the gospel shared on a child's level too. And maybe God would give us the opportunity even to reach in there. We're going to need people to make sure those cars are stopped. We're going to need people to be right here on this end with a welcoming face and a smile greeting. Because we want every person that comes on this campus that night as our guest to know just how welcome they are. And we want to be able to hand them those bracelets as they come through. And we're going to need some people, and we'll provide an opportunity for training with that, to be at the other end of this, to tell the story of what that bracelet means, and to extend the opportunity to be able to invite them here where they can become part of a community that's centered on the gospel. You see, I believe more than anything else that a disciple of Jesus Christ is on mission with Him. And as we're on mission with Him, there's no substitute for the gospel. That's what it's all about. That's what Jesus died for. And so let me ask you this morning, maybe this is the first time you heard this story in a way like this. Maybe this morning you're here and you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to come down front, and I'd be grateful if you'd give me the opportunity to share with you in more detail about coming to know Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I've been waiting for an opportunity to do something to reach out in our community. Or maybe you're here today and you're a little skeptical. I want to ask you, will you come and join us and pray? Let's start this off today on our knees. And then I'm going to be out in the foyer, and if you're willing to volunteer, we've got the sign-up forms and a place to turn those in, and I want to ask you to come through today and to figure out where God can use you, because there's a place where literally anybody can be used in this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this time. And Lord, we come and we pray for the children of our community. Lord, we're so grateful that this year you're giving us the opportunity to go to Africa, and Lord, to Guatemala next year and this next year. And Lord, that you've allowed us to go to Haiti. And we want to continue to do that. We want to be faithful to carry the gospel around the world, but we also want to take and share the gospel in our Jerusalem, in our Judea. And Father, I pray that you take this opportunity, this time, and you allow us to be able to share the good news of the gospel by allowing us to become a servant to the children. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, please stand.
At the stars in the night I wonder, at your lightning in the sky I